Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
To the Tip of the Tower podcast, and usually we're getting into a rough pattern right now where we're recording after a loss, because the last one we did was against St. Louis. Now we're doing the Leafs losing to the Capitals. I think we got to change our strategy up, guys. This is not working out really well for the Leafs.
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
Austin doesn't have many words, although he said he was pretty fired up about that loss in the wrong way possible. And I don't blame you. It was a rough second period. Usually it's the first period that gives the Leafs trouble, and I thought they were really good in the first, except for that one goal near the end there, but that was a hell of a shot by Verana to give the Caps apparently the life they needed, because they looked really bad in that first.
I mean, they scored the first goal. That's about all they did right tonight.
I mean, they scored the first two goals, so they did those two things.
But just the first is what they needed.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of things that I wanted to point out here. One, some pretty brutal penalty calls that, I feel like...
Not brutal, just so soft.
Yeah.
And then the one, like the puck over the glass one, like I thought it has to go out of the rink, not if it hits the fucking netting.
Yeah, I thought it had to go, like, forward, out of the zone, like, towards, not, like, up into the netting, because I don't think that was his intention. Like, I don't like those ones, because how many guys smash a puck over the netting, and, like, how is that not delay of game? Like, how is that any different than flipping the puck, trying to flip the puck out, and it hits the netting, so... I'm just not a fan of the play in general. I don't like trying to bat the puck out of the air like that, because it usually doesn't work out well for whoever does it.
And in this case, stupid.
CeCe. So, if there was any positive as well that I could take from the game, it was Ilya Mikheyev again.
Yeah, he's looking like he's going to be an actual NHL player, considering all the guys they've pulled out of Russia that have failed. It's nice to get a 1 out of 10, maybe.
I mean, it's still, I know it's still early, but this is the what he is doing, it's not fluke. Like, it's not like, oh, he's, you know, it's a fluke show. No, these are, what he's doing well is he's putting in the work, both his skating, which is a lot better than I expected. I think it's even gone a bit better because he's, you know, he's using his bursts at the right moments, especially on that breakaway. I mean, yeah, a partial break to score on Samsonov. And then Kapanen doing what he does shorthanded. That was good. That was the only time the Leafs' PK looked good the rest of the night because Washington's power play. I mean, like, when Washington's power play gets three or four consecutive chances, they're going to score their fair share. And that kind of reminded me of the problem against the Lightning where the Leafs just took a lot of undisciplined, like, you're just like, that's a penalty, but, like, is it really a penalty sort of deal? And Tampa took advantage of that. And I think that was the same problem tonight, which was, it's not that the Leafs took penalties, it's how many they took consecutively that just took them out of the game in the second period. Just,
they looked undisciplined, and I don't know if they used their timeout or what the deal was, but
let's see.
How do you not take a breather for your team in that situation?
Okay, so
The timeout on icings?
No, it was not the timeout. Just after one of those goals, like, how do you?
The third goal probably would be the one.
You score those two goals in 11 seconds, and then you give them a 5-on-3. Like, after that second penalty that CC has to put them 5-on-3, how do you not take a timeout at that point and say, "Hey guys, pull your heads out of your asses"? It's the only way you can say it.
I feel like the timeouts to do that don't work as well as just a timeout to give them a chance to refresh and just take a breather because they're about to go on a 5-on-3.
As soon as they gave up that fourth goal, they looked like they could not care less about the outcome of this game. They got run the rest of the way.
I think the frustrations from the penalties definitely had an influence on that, yep. I'm glad that some guys decided that they wanted to show up in that late part of the game, namely Tavares, Muzzin, Marner, and Nylander. Austin Matthews, I felt, did not look good in the third period. Like, pucks are jumping off his sticks.
He had, like, four shots blocked in the second. Like, he was just firing. And
yeah,
was
He literally took out two guys from the game with shots. But after how many times did we see him do anything after that?
He can't be that invisible.
So, and he was, okay, so this is the other part. I didn't mention this, but when they pulled the goalie, he wasn't the one going over the boards. Now, I don't know if he was just on.
Was it Mikheyev, or did they reincarnate Connor Brown to fucking throw over there?
I think Kapanen got on the ice.
Right.
So
throw out Kasperi with his 2 points on the first line.
Like,
3 points after tonight.
I guess that's something I'd have to look back and see. Like, did Matthews just play? Does that, because, like, Nylander wasn't out, so that would, I think it was the top line or the Tavares line plus Kapanen, and then I think it was Barry and Riley. Also, that was another thing. I don't know. This is kind of goes back to the whole, you know, when the Leafs are down, they used to put Gardner and Riley together. Why aren't you putting Riley and Barry together near the end there?
We were surprised that Mike Babcock even put Trevor Moore with Tavares and Marner. You think he's just going to make changes on the fly? It took him 7 games to make one guy move because another guy could literally not score.
Well, he did that last game, too. He did that.
It's just, it takes him 6 games for a guy to produce absolutely no offense for him to actually consider making a change to his forward lines. Like, I have no faith in Babcock.
This is my thing, though, Austin. It's not the offense I'm worried about. It's when the line looks sluggish defensively.
The defense looks awful.
Well, that's
Morgan Riley looks like crap because he has to carry Cody Ceci's useless carcass around the ice all game.
Hey.
Martin Marincin throws grenades left and right. At one point in this game, he threw a fucking drop pass between his legs. I straight up told you in the group chat, I'd drive him to Rico myself. I don't even have a goddamn license. Like,
yeah, it's not. It's,
you're a
it's...
third liner, and you've been spending time between the AHL and NHL. If I ever see that stick go between your legs in the defensive zone, walk home.
Yeah, you can't. You can't be doing that. I mean,
yeah,
and Justin Hull just gets torn down because of it. He's actually played pretty well to start.
He hasn't looked bad, but no one on the blue line has looked great.
Marinson's just an anchor. Yeah. And Sandin, say what you want about Rasmus Sandin, he made Marinson actually look like an NHL player for a little bit there.
And So I get the decision to send him down.
Absolutely. I agree with it.
Marinson, I don't know how you can continue to play him consistently.
I don't know how Gravel doesn't get a look after that game, because Marinson was just not good.
Well, the problem is now you're going to have Boston, has Boston even lost a game this year? I think they've lost one.
Yeah, they have. They lost to Colorado. Yes. I think they lost Garden,
so it'll be a complete shit show.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are we guessing there? Like 4-2 loss? I can't even give this team the benefit of the doubt that they'll pull out a win there. I just expect them to lose now. I will be pessimistic until proven otherwise, and they've looked like absolute crap in 3/4 of the games this season.
It's not a terrible strategy, considering especially the way they've played some of these games.
Like, they've been trying to outscore their problems, and we have found out it does not always work that way. I think the issue with the Leafs is that it's not just like over the course of the entire game another team kind of takes over. It's like a segment. It's a short part. It's like the second period against Washington, third period against Montreal, St. Louis. That was probably the only game. The St. Louis one was the only one maybe where, you know, it was kind of back and forth all game. If I look back, I gotta look.
They
back.
Just take stretches off, and when they take stretches off, they get pounded.
Yeah. Well, the thing
it's
is,
it's not like they're generating offense. They just get hemmed in their own end. And they don't look good, and they can't break the puck out, and they just look rattled.
And it's not even the breakout. It's more of they're losing guys. They're not communicating on where guys are supposed to be. There's too much separation between the defenders. I mean, both forwards and defensemen. It's not just the defensemen. I feel like if your D-core is not solid, your forwards have to make an effort to back them up. But the defense have been kind of too nonchalant on zone entries. Neutral zone, again, I think you brought that up, Austin, that the neutral zone has been kind of a free-fly zone for other teams.
Yeah, I brought it up in our chat. At one point, there was like a guy I have never heard of before just went end-to-end through the Leafs, and he maybe got a tap on the stick. He just entered the zone like he was Marner walking 1-on-5. He looked like Marner.
Holy shit,
it's
stormy out there.
And it's just not good enough the way they're playing. And it should really take me to say that. They all know it. I mean, I'm not the one that's pointing out the obvious here. Or okay. I shouldn't be the one that needs to point out the obvious. It's not good enough. And I have no reason to believe, until this team proves otherwise, that they're going to show up at a daily, on a nightly basis and perform the way we all expect them to.
Okay, so this is the thing here for me. I'm not worried. I think that with Dermott coming back, that makes a difference.
I'm a little worried. I read some stat that somebody put out that they've played 500 hockey since the All-Star break, leading from this point from last All-Star break to this point.
Now, let's also remember what happened at the All-Star break. Dermott got hurt. Gardner got hurt. So, it's...
They also just weren't playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's, I don't know. I'm not going to get over it. They didn't give an effort tonight, so I'm not going to put in an effort to rip them. They're just not worth it at this point. And I'm honestly upset over nothing. There's teams that are in much worse spots than we are. Yeah. Minnesota yesterday.
Like, they are so bad.
Yeah,
and
really
gonna,
nothing to be upset
And they're
going to
be so bad for so long. Yeah. Like, I don't see them being good and... years.
I'm just not going to put the energy into ripping the Leafs, because they'll figure it out at some point, and they'll have a good stretch, and I'll find hope again. I just see us playing the Bruins again and the same thing happening, because I don't know. I'm sad.
Well, this is just what it's going to be is Kyle Dewis is going to have to realize that A, having Martin Merchant around is not going to lead to success. I don't know if people think he's just magically going to have a big turnaround that's going to all of a sudden lead to the Leafs having success, because it hasn't happened in how all the years he's been here. This backup goalie, if you can, Dubas should be looking for a backup goalie. Hutchinson, second period, he could have helped weather the storm a little bit. I have no problem with their forwards. The forwards have not been the problem. It's been the blue line. I think, Barry Muzzin, that's the one pairing I've had no issues with, because at least Muzzin is accountable. Barry is trying to do what he can do. But Morgan Rielly looks as bad as he has.
He's
looked
awful.
I don't know how much of that is Cody Ceci. Maybe that's part of it. And then, Justin Hall, if he's your best defenseman on the third pairing, there's a problem.
I mean, there's really nothing they can do. It's just spare parts in the third pairing until Dermott gets back.
So this is what the question I have for both of you guys. Is this more of the Leafs are trying to stay afloat until Dermott comes back and then we see the serious changes there? Or does this team realistically need to find a way to trade for a defenseman?
I think they just gotta settle in. I don't see them trading for a defenseman. I think that's a very drastic, a last case scenario thing. I don't see it happening. I think they could maybe trade for a goalie, but yeah. I don't know if they'd I don't know if they'll trade for a defenseman.
I think them trading for a defenseman is pretty much people are gonna jump on Kyle Dubas, and just by that they're gonna assume he thinks he didn't do enough in the offseason, which isn't the truth, far from it. It's just the group needs to play well together, and that's it. It's going to come. It's frustrating right now, because I guess why I'm so upset is we know you guys saw the report that they haven't even spoken contract with Muzzin.
I mean, that's kind of Kyle Dewis's MO. He doesn't.
Well, not even in the offseason they didn't. That's what pissed me off. I know they had to deal with Mitch and whatnot. I get it, but
But the thing
is, you could spare a phone call if you had any interest in bringing him back. This is what I'm worried about.
Well, the other question is, does he have any interest too?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what he'd be looking for. If he's looking for something, he could probably get 5 years. So
yeah, if he wants some stupid $7 million contract, he can go.
Well, I was gonna say five times 4.5.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying if he has a good year, because he's pretty much, he and Barry have been the two best defenders on the Leafs this year, and they're both up for contracts, so they're going to ask for a lot, and it is what it is. Maybe that's why I'm rattled. This is the year, because we don't know who's coming back from the UFAs. Lilligren and Sandin might not be ready. Who knows? There's a lot of uncertainty with the D going into next season, so everyone knows this is the year, and it hasn't looked good to start.
See, this is my thing, though. I'm not going to get all worked up about the regular season, because for how many years have we gotten so worked up about the regular season and then the
playoffs? That's why I have zero energy right now, as I could care less, but you have to at least be showing a pattern of winning games consistently. They're winning the odd one here and there against, Washington and Tampa Bay and St. Louis. They have not an easy schedule to start, but it's just, it's the showing that bothers me.
They
should be playing above what they are right now.
What annoys me is in the games against Tampa and Washington, the first period got away from them, and then they couldn't recover. Against Washington, it was the second period they couldn't recover. It's that, there's something clearly missing there. I don't know what exactly it is. But again, the problem is, and you were bringing up the, trying to change up lines. You just can't change up lines every time something goes wrong as well. I just feel like that's just going to tell the other team, prepare for us to make changes again. It feels like it's just You do that too much.
He also can't just keep going into games with the same thing that's not working. And Kapanen wasn't working, so good on him for changing. But he just...
The thing is, like, are you changing the Matthews line?
No, not at all. They look great. At most points this season, they've looked great.
The only thing maybe you could say is maybe you try to get someone else with Morgan Rielly if you feel like CC is a big problem. But then again, are you comfortable putting Justin Hall on the top pair?
Can we just admit for a second that Cody CC is exactly what we thought he was? Like, everyone tried to act like he was this big reclamation project by the Leafs because he was wearing our sweater. No, he's just a bad defenseman.
I think it was people trying to be optimistic. I don't think people had
that's fine.
You know, you delusions of grandeur, but
he looks lost.
Probably because he is lost.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying he looks lost just to be nice, but it's just
also
it's not really sad.
Let's also bring up the biggest, the stupidest thing about all this is the Leafs have already played what, two back to backs.
Yeah,
they play five before the second week of November.
Can we? I don't understand. Is this the case of the Leafs are going to have this tough schedule to start, and then as the season ends, it gets easier? Because last year,
play two games a week down the stretch.
I don't get what.
I don't know. There's been a lot of teams that have had a lot of pretty bad schedules. Like Philly's had it horrible. They started off in Finland, then after they were in Finland, they had to go home for one game, and then they went out west to Calgary. Now they're in Edmonton, and they played those two on back-to-backs. And then the Rangers have played three games. The Leafs have played, like, eight.
Yeah. The Leafs, I think, have played the most games in the NHL right now.
Easily.
Yeah.
I don't get that. And the thing is, too, it doesn't allow for a lot of practice time.
No.
So, you know, like...
The Rangers have had, like, I think they played, it was like 2 games in 10 days or something like that.
They've played 3 games this season.
Yeah.
Philly has played 4. Chicago has played 4. I mean, the Philly-Chicago makes a little sense because of the Prague game, but that also just made no sense. Go play one game out in Prague. Like, they're the two teams, I think maybe that's why the Leafs have had to play more because look at the teams the Leafs have had to play. They've had to play against two teams in the Metro. They had St. Louis. Like, they've had to, I think, take up some of the burden of Chicago not being around and Philly not being around, too.
Just a crap schedule to start. There's some teams like, you know, props to Edmonton for their start, but who have they played?
I mean, they've also had, I think, some of the most ridiculous splits I've ever seen. And they're winning 4-1 today.
Yeah.
They're winning
3-1.
4-1.
Is they just made it 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think their power play is at like 42%. Penalty kills at like 93. They have not lost a game when they haven't scored first. So they have 5 come-from-behind wins. And they have the highest shooting percentage in the league and the 3rd highest save percentage.
So, Jake, what does that tell you?
That it's going to continue.
Yeah.
81-1.
Yeah. It's totally sustainable.
See, like, this is the thing. Edmonton, what they're doing, we know they're going to come down to earth eventually because, I'm sorry, I don't see Mike Smith's .907, I think, at the time. Below .910 save percentage being good enough to help this team get to the playoffs.
I mean, if he does keep playing the way he is, then Edmonton's won 2 swaps over Calgary this year by wide margins.
Sorry, Mike Smith has a .917 and went up.
Koskinen's playing tonight. That's all I know.
Oh, and Koskinen has a .914. So they're getting average goaltending.
Just outscoring their problems.
Yeah, that's what their special teams are really hot. At 5-on-5, I'm pretty sure they're not very good at 5-on-5.
Who's this?
Edmonton.
I mean, just also look at their stats breakdown. It's like a lot of teams.
Doesn't make like, good of 60% like, of their I'm points.
No, I think 4 guys have like 80% of their goals.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Like,
and they,
like James Neal is scoring at like a 50% shooting percentage.
Yeah.
Good for him, honestly. It's just,
The second that happened, I just saw that and I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, that was the dumbest trade I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Milan Lucic has shown with multiple teams that he is not any sort of offense.
He's horrible. Like, NHL he used anymore. To be good, but I have no idea how the fuck he scored. Like,
he used to be intimidating.
He scored like 30 goals. I mean, yeah, he's still intimidating, but like, now guys just skate circles.
Is
around.
He, though? Yeah. He's getting turnstiled. Is he?
Well, you have to catch a guy to intimidate. Still, considering he will just like punch you in the face for no reason, yes, that's still intimidating, but.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more of an annoyance. More like, if I see him on the ice with me, I'm like, fuck yeah, we're going to skate around this clown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is something I wanted to bring up. Edmonton has a 47% Corsi. So
that's really bad.
The Leafs are second behind Florida at 55%.
Good.
At least some positive.
So the Leafs are doing well enough at 5-on-5 to make it think that things will get better. Although their goal differential at 5-on-5 is a -3, which
sweet.
I think the goaltending, yeah, definitely needs to be better for the Leafs. I think.
Yeah, they got to get some saves.
Because they really haven't. How many games has Freddie stolen to start the season?
Zero.
Maybe.
Zero.
You could say maybe Detroit, where he had to make some decent saves.
It's Detroit. You're not stealing games from Detroit.
Okay. So, there's maybe one area.
It's October, Freddie. We know exactly what this is. He's crap to start the year, and then he heats up. I don't know why he does it every year, but it's hard to watch him in October.
Yeah.
It's like pretty annoying that it's so consistent.
Yeah, it's definitely annoying.
Yeah, it's I root for a team in the Premier League, Tottenham Hotspur. They have like this great goal scorer who can never score in August. He like scores in every other month. August, he cannot score. I think he's got like two goals in like six seasons or something ridiculous. And it's just like, how is this a thing? And it just is. Yeah. It's funny.
There's nothing you can do about it either. We can't do anything about the Leafs. We just sit there and watch the games, but it's just
They'll start to get some. They'll get some bounces. I mean, they're obviously a 100-point team. They're going to get some bounces. High 90s, 100 points. They'll probably they'll make the playoffs, but I actually don't know who they'll play. I actually think Boston wins the division.
That's what it's looking like right now, because Boston's getting the goaltending. Because they've only allowed 10 goals, I think, to start the season.
That bomb Tuukka Rask that every Boston fan loves to chirp is still pretty good, eh?
And Halak, like what they did was they took the money that they pay anyone else, they took the money that Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand aren't making and put it towards Halak. Gee, I wonder how the Leafs could have I wonder how the Leafs could have afforded a better backup. Oh yeah. Try to get some deals to go your way.
It's also all luck. Backup goaltending is all luck, too. I mean, like the Leafs fucking got Curtis McIlhenny off the scrap heap. The guy, like, led the goddamn Hurricanes to the playoffs, basically led the Leafs to the playoffs, too.
That's very true.
They just got to get lucky. Man. I mean, I can't believe there hasn't. I don't even recall one goalie getting waived or sent down that probably didn't or that deserved to get released. Is there a goalie
that deserved to get released?
Yeah, I haven't noticed one. I thought Pittsburgh was supposed to send down or trade one of DeSmith or Jarry. Even happen?
DeSmith got waived.
I think he cleared. Yeah,
he cleared.
Oh my god!
And,
I don't know how you don't go off to DeSmith. I don't know how you didn't do that.
Louis Domingue got waived by Tampa too.
I mean, and like, if you're the Leafs, how are you not calling Pittsburgh right now and saying, we need a goalie. You have one in the minors. Like, I know
they're just basically buying time until Joe Woll's ready to go.
I don't know if you can rely on as much as I would love to see Joseph Woll. I think there's I like what he can potentially become. I can't rely on him.
Well, no, he should not be up here name? Next season.
Kaskasuo?
No.
Oh, Jesus. No, Ian the Scott. Other guy.
Oh, Ian Scott?
Yeah. Ian's... Where's he? Is he in Newfoundland? Oh, he's injured? Is he going to be playing in the E or the A or
I guess so,
junior?
They have Kaskasuo and Wool splitting time.
Yeah, well, seems it's not. It's no longer a complete, you know, dumpster place to put players is to put them in the ECHL, considering the resources that the Leafs
are
committing to
it. Rolling the Growlers. Can we talk about something positive for a sec?
Yeah, there you go.
Guy on the Growlers has 9 points in 3 games, and his name's escaping me right now. They're just lighting teams up right now. They won 6-1 the other night. Justin Brazzo scored his first pro goal.
Oh,
bit of a greasy one, but he'll take it.
Yeah, he's a guy that the Leafs are going to use as like a project to see if they can get something out of that.
Well, they got 15 goals scored in 3 games. They've allowed 11, though, which isn't good.
Yeah, I think their goaltending right now is McAdam and Michael Gartig, I think, is the backup. I probably butchered his name.
No, he went to Quinnipiac. He's no longer he went to Europe.
Killer.
Well, let's just say this. Mac Hollowell is down there. Joseph Duzak is down there.
Justin Brazzo's down there.
Cole Conrad leads the team in points with 9.
Durogatintsev will end up back. Actually, no, he's ripping it up. He won't be back there. I forgot how well he was doing.
I don't see him. Yeah, I don't see him. So right.
Yeah, they'll go to the Marlies. He and Robertson will both sign ATOs with the Marlies.
Yeah, so this is going to be a case where I think Dubas is going to probably keep his eye out for a goalie. The problem is so many teams don't want to have what happened to like the Leafs, where you lose 2 goalies on waivers, which is funny because the opposite happened. There were so many goalies out there, I thought at least one would get claimed. And I think the only one that got claimed that I thought, maybe the Leafs. I mean, it also depends. The Leafs might have put a waiver. I mean, no, the ones that cleared not. But Eric Comrie was the only one I think that got claimed. Out of like all the rash.
Just go back to the old failed backup of the Jets.
Yeah, so he went to Arizona.
That's why the Growlers are doing so bad. By the way, their starter's 20 years old. He's playing
Who
his first
he?
Season of. His name's Maxim Zhukov. He's a Russian.
I've never heard of him.
He played. This is his first pro year. He split time between the O and the USHL.
Still, like, that can't be good.
So he's your starter at 20 years old. So he's got an 80 save percentage right now. He's getting lit up a bit to start the year.
Yeah, it's all right.
That'll happen. Yeah, it's 20. Kid's 3 years younger than me, for God's sake.
Okay, so let's kind of bring this a little bit to a close, because there's not much that we can say right now. Just what's one thing that the Leafs can as a team, what's one thing they should try to really, you know, try to fix?
Score more goals than the other team?
They got to start on time. I mean, I don't know what they can do for that, but they cannot keep up with, you know, where they basically are. I mean, I'm surprised they actually had a 2-0 lead today, but they got to just compete better defensively. They got to have some patience with the puck. I mean, there were 3 guys on the defense core that or maybe 3 or 4 when Sandin was here that you actually trusted when they had the puck. Now they have like 3. Now they have 2, maybe 3, because Riley has been horrible lately.
Yeah, not good.
Because they got to take him off the pairing with that clown. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so something that Babcock said after tonight. This is Babcock on moving Mikheyev up with Tavares Marner. We were trying to get that line to go right. I thought we had great legs. And I thought he had great legs and was flying. Well, gee, thanks. That makes sense. And then another Babcock quote, we had a couple of sort-out problems at the start of the second. No shit. We took penalties. No shit. Then we spent the rest of the night chasing the game. No shit. Bottom line is we've got to find a way to play better in these back-to-backs. Again, no shit.
Maybe play your starter against the team that actually made the playoffs last year and your backup against the team
that
still doesn't
win. That was something else I was going to mention. Why not, you know that how important your backup goalie is. throw him a bone, because you don't throw him a bone by giving Washington on the second half a back-to-back.
How many, since Babcock's done this with Anderson, which is since Anderson's been here, how many times has the backup that you can remember gotten the easier half of a back-to-back?
I don't think it's ever worked that way.
It's always been the crappier team Anderson gets, and they usually win, and then the backup gets, like, Tampa.
Yeah. Or, like, the last year where Anderson played against Edmonton, Tavares goes back to Long Island, and they play Sparks.
Yep. Just absolutely hung out to dry.
So, but my other question is, the Leafs can do so much more to help the backup as well.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't Hutchinson's fault tonight.
No, it's not all. I felt like maybe the goal, the second goal, not the one where Marinchen got deked out of his mind, in the second goal, or one of the ones where like they scored and then right after the fact they scored again. And that was the third goal. All I know is you do need your backup to kind of try to stop the bleed, and I felt like they just, this is, something was not computing there. What else? Okay, there's something else I wanted to bring up. I'm gonna see if I can find this post. I should have saved it. That was I just kind of browsed by it, and then I,
David.
Yeah.
Now you're good. What are we talking about?
All right, I'm looking. Hold on. I think it was this page here. Let me see if I can find it. I might not be able to. Let's see. So this is one of those posts where you see a Leafs fan go off on the fact that the team doesn't hit. Okay, I was gonna try to read this word for word, but I think I'm gonna have to just go with this verbatim. So somebody had wrote, "What this team could use is a guy like Tucker or Clark."
Wouldn't every team love that?
I mean, Wendell Clark, it's easy to say, but like, to say like a guy like Darcy Tucker could help the Leafs right now?
You're kidding. We could use a guy that scores tons of points and also hits people?
Yeah, like what? What
a game-breaking analysis.
No, like, what? That's like saying, man, you know what this team could really use? Fucking Bobby Orr.
You know what this team? Like, a guy that scores a lot of goals and hits. Man, we could use Alex Ovechkin on this team.
The thing that pisses me off about this whole, oh, not tough enough thing, it's like, if the Leafs could find somebody like a Tom Wilson who's 6'5", fights, can skate and score, like, you really think they'd say, nah, we don't want him? There's literally maybe under five of those players in the entire league. They're modern unicorns. So yeah. What is something that you can't turn your head down? It's just skill and talent. That's what they're looking to do right now, is just try and get as much skill and talent as possible. And I mean, most of the time, if you're the more talented team and you can actually, and you work hard too, you're going to win.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to bring up, for how many years did the Leafs try to go with that route of, you know, they're not the most skilled team, but they work hard? How many years did they try that and it didn't work?
Almost every year.
Every year.
Since 1967, guys. They've been trying this. How about, you know what somebody once said a while ago? You know, the Leafs haven't had one of, like, the top premier players in the league.
Now they have one. They only have probably four.
Yeah. They don't have a Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby. They don't have that generational, like, that's because they haven't
had. Pretty close.
But yeah. Auston Matthews is pretty close. Marner's pretty close. Tavares is pretty close. Like, this is what this team has needed. What they now need is guys to buy in on playing the right way.
They got Nick Nurse in the locker room, though.
Ooh, I would not say no to that.
Well, you ripped Hollis Jefferson and Johnson today.
What was that? What did he say again? I saw like a
tweet about it. They're not playing to our standard, basically.
Like Raptors, right? Raptors work ethic or something?
Yeah, he just straight up called them out of the media. So get him in there.
I mean, that's the funny thing, though. Like, the Babcock's motto the entire season thus far has been basically, like, we got to be like the Raptors.
You know what the best idea would be? Go and get Pinball Clemens. I would run through a damn wall for that guy after a speech.
Jake, how much do you know about good old Pinball Clemens?
I heard his interview on Overdrive where he was, like, tearing up about how he, like, just wants to be the person that fans respect and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's all I really know, but I mean,
he is,
it's just nice to show somebody
electric factory.
Yeah, the guy just has passion for Argos football and
a team that doesn't get a lot of support.
Yeah, exactly. A team that doesn't have a lot of passion amongst it.
It's been a rough year.
Yeah, I think that they definitely need. I mean, but this is the whole reason also Tavares being named captain. You know, I remember there was that game against. It was the first year Marlowe was on the team. The Leafs are getting their ass handed to them by Ottawa and Ottawa. I don't know if you guys remember this. All of a sudden, I think it was the third period, they turned things on. They absolutely annihilated Ottawa the rest of the game. And then they said, yeah, Patty Marlowe got up and pretty much ripped us to shit.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, guys like Tavares, Muzzin, like, look, once in a while, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, those guys are going to need a kick in the rear. And it can't just be Babcock giving it to them. The problem is they're making so much money that they need the other guys, like a Tavares, to go there and be like, all right, guys, like, enough's enough. We got to pick things up.
Like, I'm going to legitimately ask this. Does Tavares seem like the type of guy that's going to get up and just rip the boys a new one?
No. I mean, there's also probably very few players who imagine that being done.
He's more of a action kind of guy, which I get, but he's not ever going to do that, I don't think.
My other thing is that, look, you can do it once in a while, but if you're consistently doing it, then it loses its effect.
Of course.
So there's that as well.
There's a time and place to do it.
There is. So maybe they're just waiting for, because Tavares spoke loudly when he tried to get them when they got them within a goal. Muzzin, you know, making the heads up play to break up that breakout. It's stuff like that. If the Leafs say, okay, it worked for him, maybe I should try to do it. It's like things like that, keeping, like, you know, aggressive on the line. Don't let the neutral zone come easy to them. It's things like that I think they could do a little more of. I think having the tape, like, if I'm Babcock, I'm putting that Muzz and Tavares tape together, and I'm just playing it until it gets into their heads.
Yep.
So, I think they just need more examples of doing things the right way, because right now I feel like the last few games they don't have enough of that, because the goals have been coming easy for them, or they've been scoring so much that has them thinking a different way. So, that being said, the Sabres are a wagon. It's official. Oh, shoot, never mind.
They're losing 3-2.
They're losing now. Wow.
Yeah.
So we were
jinx.
That's good for me because I have John Gibson as my goalie. That's fantastic. Ooh, Ricard Raquel, I have him.
Yeah, he scored.
He has an assist.
Some really random guys have scored. Actually, no, Getzlaf scored.
Henrique.
Yeah, Henrique. I was looking at a thing, and I think it was Carter Rowney or something that got an assist, but I mean they're on a 5-on-3 right now, so
yeah. So I'm just looking here just through the scores, like San Jose 3-1 on Carolina. They seem to have. I want to just check who scored for San Jose, because we all know if Patty scores, people are actually then my Twitter would have said so.
No, it was Kane all three times.
Wow. Vander Kane with the Hattie.
Yeah, and I think his first game back from suspension or his second?
I think it's his second. I think he's been back.
Like, he is a guy that I would love on the Leafs, but again, guys like him, Tom Wilson, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of other guys like that who can score 30 goals or 25 goals.
30 goals and play that way. Yeah, he has played three games this season, so his suspension ended a while
ago. I mean, I'd like a Ryan Reeves, but, you know, he's kind of like a functional fourth liner, but, I mean, like that'd be nice, but, I mean, and it is what it is. I mean, it's like a super rare commodity, and people just act like the Leafs need to just go out and sign any big dumbass, and it will help them. I mean, if they wanted to add a big dumbass, they have one in the minors. What's his name? The guy they got from Ottawa.
Oh,
Ben Harper.
Yeah, Ben Harper, 6'7" guy.
6'7" all the time. Good player.
Can't even fucking skate.
No. Kevin Gravel is like 6'3", so he's a unit. He's got a bit of size to him.
I found it funny how before the game you were talking about how we couldn't get as much for Kapanen because of he hasn't been playing well, which he hadn't, but it's just funny he had a goal and two assists. Yeah,
just right up there, Austin. Just take it right up there. It's just like
we gotta keep doing this.
It's just like how Spin Chicklets Biz was going on about Laine and how he wouldn't do well, and he like went on a tear.
He's leading the league in assists, I thought.
Right now, it's John Carlson.
Well, after tonight, I mean, yeah. I saw it before the
John
game.
John Carlson, man, has he picked up his game. Which, I mean...
He's always been this good. I mean, I remember when they re-signed him. I said I would have rather had him than Tavares. But, I mean, he wasn't going to hit UFA.
No, he wasn't.
He got paid a ton. Didn't he get paid like $8.5 million or something?
Yeah, he's going to be the reason why they're going to have to make a tough call on Holtby and Backstrom.
Well, it's pretty easy. Holtby's gone.
Yeah, that's a given. Yeah, like there's not many guys. Like I'm just looking at the scoring list here. Like I like.
Oh, Tkachuk is another guy. I'd love Tkachuk.
Oh man, yeah, Tkachuk is a guy I would like. I'm just trying to see if there's like anyone that I can think of.
A Josh Anderson.
Yep, Josh Anderson is another one. Michael Ferland, he's another one I would have liked.
Yeah, but he got paid a lot of money.
He got paid a lot of money in term, which, yeah, I did not agree with that.
Edmonton, and he's got concussion problems, right?
Yeah, he's had a couple, for sure.
Mark Stone is another guy.
Oh, Mark Stone would have been, but Vegas paid a lot. I mean, Vegas gave up their top defensive prospect, but they also signed him to a good deal. But
he's like what, 26 or something?
He's like 20.
He makes $9.5 million. One of the best two way, the best two way winger in the game.
Yeah. The thing is like teams see that and they lock it up. The Leafs haven't really valued that because who the Leafs drafted? I mean, Matthews is a given. Like, would you have rather the Leafs have gone after, was it Nick Ritchie over William Nylander? No.
No, I mean, if it's close, like if players are graded similarly when you're drafting, obviously I'd go with this, like the more physical guy. But if it's like a thing where the grades are completely different, you have to go best player available. You can't just reach for needs. That's when you start. Also, you can't reach for needs in the NHL because like, how long does it take to develop a player? Nobody is coming in. Unless you're going in the top three, you're not playing in the NHL as a 18-year-old, so 1 year at least. And then say once you get past in the teens, you're going 2 years, and then you know second rounders and late firsts and third rounders, it takes maybe 3 years. So, and everything's completely changed by then.
Yeah. Like, I understand Leafs fans want to, like, you know, we have grown up with the style of the guys, like, as we said, Wendell Clark, Darcy Tucker, Dougie Gilmore. We've grown up with these guys that are, I mean, Gilmore aside, have been bigger, tougher, in-your-face style of players.
The guy's, he wasn't big, but Doug Gilmore's nickname was literally Killer.
Yeah. the thing is, you know, I thought a guy like Korshkov could potentially be that, but he doesn't really have
like
he's a skill guy. He scored again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's not many Russians who are like that, or Europeans in general that are big.
Just look at
because they don't fight.
Well, they don't.
It's not even like a. It's not even like a thing where people say, "Oh, he's European. He doesn't fight." It's like they're not allowed to fight when they play in Europe.
Yeah.
No.
Like, it's like playing. It's like college threes and NHL threes or and NBA threes. Like, it's a different line. Like, it's completely different game. Like the rink's wider. Like nobody fights. So yeah. It's unless I think the only Europeans that fight. Or are okay with fighting are ones that have played and been developed in North America.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy I think of is like Gabriel Landeskog, who played in Kitchener for I think 3 years or something like that. But yeah, it's always just super rare. It's just annoying because you keep hearing it like they're going to change anything.
One guy's not going to change everything. Like Tom Wilson isn't just the only guy that's making Washington. Like, Ovechkin plays with that style, too. Like, he hits everything he sees. Wilson does it. They brought up, like, the Leafs were being out hits, like, 6-4. But it's like, okay. But how many of those are just, you know, the Leafs pass the puck, the puck's nowhere near the guy, and he gets just pushed into the boards? Like, I don't consider that really doing much.
No.
So, and as we said, if the Leafs wanted to get a guy like that, you're paying for it. Even if they're a free agent. Apparently things are getting a little chippy in Anaheim. I do not know what's going on.
I mean, good.
Sabres are gooning it up, boys.
One thing I would do is just fucking bet the under on that game right now. If you've watched the Ducks play at all, holy shit. Fucking turn off your TV. They basically are playing a trap.
They're playing like New Jersey Devils style hockey.
I was watching it. They just clog up the middle. They're playing a trap. They're playing like the Islanders are last year.
Or the
I wouldn't Senators. Be surprised to make the playoffs.
Ooh. Was that Fowler? Who's number four?
Fowler.
Yo, he took... Who did he take to the boards? Oh! He crunched them from behind. Was that all? What's number's oldest son? Is he 68?
Beats me. I think he's like in the high. Like, think it's 68. Oh,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Fowler just dummied Olsson. He pushed him head first into the boards, and Reinhart went after him. Like, I look at Calgary too. Before Tkachuk came in, it was Sam Bennett that was the tough guy for them.
And he sucks.
He's terrible. Like.
The thing I remember was how absurdly biased Don Cherry was. It's like, this guy's gonna be the next Doug Gilmore because he like played for fucking Kingston because he fucking loves Kingston.
Oh yeah,
he is so shit. I fucking knew he would be shit when he couldn't do one fucking chin up. How is that even possible?
That's a big guy.
Casey Middleset.
I don't even think I've done a chin-up in maybe, like, 10 years. I think I could do, like, 4.
I could probably get at least one.
You think? I'm not the most... You could get one.
Yeah.
I think I could do one, and then it's just anyone's guess after that.
I don't know how... Like, how can you consider yourself an elite fucking athlete and you can't do one chin-up?
Yeah.
And it's not even like he weighed a lot.
No,
he's, like, 160 pounds.
Yeah.
There is how are you not able to lift up, like, 160 pounds?
Because he did no weight training in Kingston. We're talking about Sam Bennett, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out Kingston. No weight training.
The other thing I want to bring up. Oh, yeah. Remember, I just wanted... Just another thing for Leafs fans. You remember David Clarkson?
Oh, my God.
That was the poster boy of... This is the guy that's going to get the Leafs, you know, after that Game 7 loss. This is who they needed. And he ended up being a disaster.
That was the literal hill that truculence died on with the Leafs.
Yeah. He was, like, after, like, literally, he got traded the moment Shanahan was brought, like, he came in, Shanahan made known as trade him to Columbus. And
that's still the best trade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, Kane also got a natural hat trick.
Ooh,
that's good. That's one of the top trades the team's ever made.
Wow.
Just for the fact that this is his last year. Imagine what a gong show.
Oh, my God.
those young didn't players' he get negotiations
paid, like,
would be?
Didn't he get paid like 6.2 or something?
No, it was like 5.25 or 5.5.
Oh, yes, 5.75.
5.75.
Jesus Christ.
And the best part is, like, you hear Dave Poulin talk, because he was like one of the guys that was there, a part of the manager group. He's like, you know we brought him in.
He turned down money. He turned down money from Edmonton.
Six mil.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Because, I mean, look, Toronto, Edmonton. Toronto, Edmonton. I don't know if that's a really tough decision.
I mean, there's like a threshold where I would take more money to play in a lesser market. But it's not 250 grand a year.
No.
It'd have to be about $1 million.
It's like Tyler Ennis took maybe 200,000 more to go play in Ottawa. Roughly.
He was also, I mean, at least he's going to play. There's no way he's going to fucking play here.
Yeah. He wasn't cracking this lineup.
Like, what I was referring to was like Artemi Panarin, who, by all accounts, got offered like $13 million from the Islanders. And he was just like, nope, I'm never playing here.
Not a chance.
It's just funny because the whole time, I remember when Bob was reporting like the Islanders are favorites, I was like, there is no fucking way.
No, there's like, no way.
His wife, I'm pretty sure, is a supermodel.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Like, he's not fucking commuting from Midtown Manhattan to Hempstead, New York. And then hell all the way out to fucking Belmont when they get the rink done in 3 years. No, it was never happening. I mean, great play by him. He used leverage, and by all accounts, looks like he went to a better team that's going to have a better chance of making the playoffs this year. But, yeah, I mean, it would take a significant amount of money for me to go from, like, the Rangers to the Islanders or Leafs to Edmonton and stuff like that. Like, one report I wanted to bring up was the Taylor Hall thing.
Oh, yeah. That was the last point I was going to bring up before we ended
I saw the comments on that tweet, and it was just like, why would the Oilers do that? Just sign him as a free agent. And I just wrote, I was like, you really think that, one, you would win a bidding war, and two, you would win a recruiting pitch? What the fuck is your recruiting pitch? Hey, Taylor, I know we traded you when you didn't want to be traded. And then everybody in town basically said how shit teammate you were, and how
everybody said Adam Larson was better than you,
and how it was addition by subtraction and everything like that. But we'd like to offer you $6 million a year. I know that's about half of what you're probably looking at, but yeah, and also you get to live in Edmonton again. Probably not, considering who will have cap space next year.
No, not a chance.
It's actually kind of sad because, I mean, I live in New Jersey and I've lived in New Jersey for, I don't know, 70% of my life. It's like a really good hockey market when they're good.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks because I thought he would have re-signed if they were good. But they've just...
their offseason would suggest so that they would be off to the start.
At what point do you consider trading them, though?
I think you got to. You got to ask him. I mean, Ray Sherrill's a smart guy. He's got to go to him and say, listen, do you want to be here? Offer him a lot of money. Offer him 77 over 7 or 88 over 8. $11 million. Offer him whatever it is, but... I mean, you have to go, like, listen, we will offer you this. It's take it or leave it, because they cannot, you know, have a Zach Parise situation where they lose a guy for nothing. Considering the package he'll get, he will get a roster player, a top prospect, and a first-round pick, if not more.
Well, if the Leafs paid a first-round pick and a prospect for Jake Muzzin, I think...
Two prospects. Mid-level prospects.
Yes. I keep forgetting about what's his name?
Durzi?
No, Durzi was the one
Brunstrom.
I remembered.
Brunstrom.
Holy smokes. Memory loss right there.
Been a minute.
I'm just trying to think, like, what comparable player has gone at the deadline, like a Taylor Hall?
It would be Marian Hossa. That would be the last one I could think of.
Yeah, that's probably...
At the time, a very good roster player, Colby Armstrong. He scored like 25 goals a year.
Yep.
The top prospect, who ended up sucking,
Angelo Esposito.
Oh my god! And a first round pick,
which I mean, it's Pittsburgh, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a team in the 20s. Like, no team is giving up a potential lottery pick to get him. I mean, that's just unrealistic.
And that was going to be my other question. What team – I mean, his contract's affordable at $6 million. If a team – like, I'm looking at teams like – let's see. We've mentioned teams that need scoring, like Carolina.
Are you talking about teams that could sign him or trade for him?
Trade for him, not sign him.
Oh, it's easy. All the teams that have balls. Vegas will definitely sniff around there. They always do.
If they can, they don't have to move some salary to make that work.
They
could
do it.
But if they could you just imagine that winger core?
It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I wouldn't put it past him re-signing there.
Yeah.
Hell, I would.
Oh, this is the other thing I want to ask.
Vegas or Edmonton?
Vegas.
Vegas. I think Vegas has more to offer than Edmonton does.
I just mean to live.
Oh.
That was more of a...
Oh,
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Sorry, Edmonton. You got a nice mall.
My other question. Somebody, I don't know if you guys heard, who brought this up that, you know, Winnipeg, if Buffalo doesn't come back and you're the Leafs, you're calling them every day about taking Cody Ceci.
I think it was...
Who was that?
I think it was a TSN guy. It might have been LeBron.
Yeah, like, if I'm the Leafs, and you, like, at what point do you think the Jets have to...
I know they're not talking about Bufflin for CC, but just getting CC out of there in general.
Yeah.
Would be great.
Because if you're Winnipeg, you can't sit back.
No. Especially with some of the good core players that they have locked up, they can't.
They're not a team that can say, you know what, we'll pay the money, we'll just burn this year. No, they need they can't have a lost season, especially financially. So if I'm the Leafs, I'm like, you know, Cody Ceci might not be great, but he's better than some of the guys you got. Because I don't think they want to be playing their first round pick from 2019 in their lineup. Heniola, is that his name?
Yeah, he's playing.
No, he's like the third round pick, I thought.
No, first.
Oh, is he first?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably have their third round pick from this year playing.
They took him 20 something overall. Maybe I'm off. It might have been in the late teens.
So
I forget the last draft because the Leafs weren't picking first round.
But yeah, I mean, a bunch of teams would look. Hell. If I were Boston, I would fucking try and sniff around and get something for try and trade for him. Because they have cap space. They could re-sign him. I mean, there would be kind of a disaster long-term. It would be like what the Leafs did with Tavares. And I don't know how well he'd fit that system. But they could be a team that would go out there.
Be treated like Sagan.
I don't think so. I mean, Sagan was so young.
He just doesn't play gritty enough. I don't think. I think you have to have that edge to play in Boston. I don't know.
I mean, it's a bit of a different system, but I agree. I mean, it would be a fit where you make it work. If you can get a guy, and they have a ton of prospects and young players and picks and stuff like that. But I mean, if Buffalo keeps doing well, I think Buffalo could trade for him. I don't know if he'd re-sign, but I think they could consider trading for him.
Sure, give it a go.
Yeah. Colorado's a team that's got money. They got picks. They got prospects. They can re-sign them too.
That's a team that that's going to do something. I think
that's going to be the big team next offseason too. That's going to try and get one of the big free agents.
Imagine if they go after Taylor Hall.
I think they would. I mean, they. Do you see how creative they got with trying to get Panarin? I think they offered him like 13 over 4 or something.
Well, because they have the short term, they have the cap space. But then once McKinnon needs to be re-upped, that changes everything for them.
Yeah.
So, there are teams that are going to be sneaky with what they do. The Leafs, not so much. We know what they need. We know they can't do much.
It's sadly not Taylor Hall.
Nope.
No, we don't have a big name free agent coming for us for a while after Tavares.
Nor would you. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
We
got our guy.
There's no flexibility anymore.
No, and Just getting Dermot back, I think, will be nice.
Even Hyman's supposed to be back within like the next week and a half or something.
I can't believe him saying this. He just seems so important.
Yeah,
it's weird how important he is until you see him out of the lineup.
My question is, okay, you get Hyman back, who comes out?
It has to be Kaplan.
So then what do you do with him? Because I don't know if you can...
It's really tough because I don't think you can put Trevor Moore on the fourth line.
No.
That third line has been the best part about the whole team.
The bottom six
have been better than the top six.
Yeah, I agree. They've just, from a consistent play standpoint, they have just brought it every single game.
So I... Like, if I'm Dubas, I know that they wanted to have Kapanen around, but you have such an embarrassment of riches up front and your blue line. It got addressed with Muzzin and Barry, but that's it.
He and Janssen both have not really performed.
Well,
even Janssen has been pretty invisible for the most part.
Well,
he started invisible last year too.
Yeah, Janssen at least will play the I'm gonna, you know, go into the corners and really do my best to make life easier for Willie and
He's doing his job. I'm not saying he's a bum by any means, but
you just were in the position he's being played, we expect more.
Yeah. When you're on the first line, obviously you're showcased to be a first liner, and it's just when you don't perform to that, you're gonna be judged accordingly. Mm-hmm.
And you know, like we see, this is the thing, we can't look at Kapanen and Janssen as guys that you try to make work. Like they should be seen as expendable because you don't want to get locked down to guys like that who I think can be replaced. I mean, I look at even with the Marlies, they're going to have guys that are going to be knocking on the door to come up. You've got guys on the third line. Like, I think Trevor, would you be comfortable having Trevor Moore in Andreas Janssen's spot if you were to get traded?
Yeah.
And would you be fine with Hyman in Kapanen's spot? And then you just find a guy on the third line to get hit to play on the third line.
Yeah, I would. I'd be all for it.
And that's $6 million right there.
Yep.
And that would be your defenseman if you needed to get one in the offseason. Or the money, just to relieve some money to get someone.
They'd have to find a defenseman who's probably got maybe two or three years of term.
Yeah.
And on a decent number. I mean, they're really hard to find, but they need cost certainty for sure. Like what they had in, you know, Kadri and what they have in Kerfoot, who's, you know, signed for good deals, but not for serious long term. No. I'm kind of a fan of flexibility overall.
Yeah.
I don't really. The thing that people love in the NHL, and I don't really understand it, is signing guys to like 8 or 7 year deals.
No, I hate that.
I just don't think it's that big a. I don't think it's that big a savings.
Like, people were complaining about. Yeah. I mean, we complained about Matthews getting 5, but we want Matthews here forever. I think about it. I mean, I've.
Like, the thing is, I mean, would you rather have him for. He's probably one of the few examples, guys like him, you'd prefer to have like 11 years, 8 years, $11 million a year, because he's like a superstar. But if you're not like a super duper star, I don't feel like offering these guys. I feel like it's a better idea to do what teams are doing with like the Bruins and stuff like that, because they signed. McAvoy was like a 3-year deal for like $5 million or something.
Yeah.
Like at the end of that deal, I don't think he's gonna get, you know, $11 million or something like that. Like, he's probably gonna get like 7.5.
Because the jump, like to think his salary would increase by would double. That means like he has like double.
He'd have to win an Norris Trophy to get double digit. Yeah,
exactly.
That or. Be a bona fide number one defenseman on a championship caliber team. Like, you look at who's going to be a free agent this summer is Petrangelo. They, like, what do you think he would get on the open market? He'd got to get like 7 times 10 or 10 times 7.
He has to get 10. So, if Carlson got 11, if Doughty got 11,
which is another weird thing. I feel like the contracts negotiated in San Jose and LA have been pretty bad.
They screwed them. Like, getting rid of Joe
Pavelski. I would have never. Isn't Carlson like 11 and a half?
He's.
Doughty that's 11
and a half? No, I think.
Doughty's 11 flat.
And Carlson, I think, is 11.
And Carlson's. I forget. I honestly forgot he signed a contract. It was such a side note for some reason in this offseason.
He did 8 years, $92 million, so it's 11.5. That's going to be so bad in like 4 years.
He had 2 years, in my opinion. He can barely see, he can barely turn.
The way he's held up, it looks
bad. Well, let's be honest. He's a stud, but...
Yeah, he's unreal when healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing. He just has a lot of injuries. And, I mean, I love him. I don't know if I'd give him $92 million over eight. But I mean, that's just the way it is, and I think the only way to change that is if they lower term limits, which is what they're probably going to do. I think the max is going to be 6 years, and also players start going to free agency. I think that's the only way, because think about how many guys have just been, you're basically banking on them being good.
Yeah.
Like Thomas Chabot's one. Now I think he's a really good player, but. Didn't he get like 8x8?
Yeah.
So he got 8x8. There's no way he should have gotten $8 million after one season. Friggin' Marner probably shouldn't have gotten $11 million. Clayton Keller shouldn't have gotten. He got like 7.5. Yeah, he had like 10 goals last year. Now I think he's got a lot of talent, but Jesus, I just don't see how. It's very rare you look back on those long term deals and are like, oh. That's a steal.
Like,
can probably count them on your hand.
Would you have given Trouba $8 million?
Was it like 8-year deal?
I think it was 8 by 8.
That sounds like about right.
Or 7 by 8.
He's a 50-point guy. Why not?
And he's really physical. He's a pretty good player. Yes. I think pretty good defensemen go for around $7 million. So that's fine.
He got 7 by 8.
Yeah. He got $7 million?
He got $8 million, but 7 years.
That's probably a little overpayment, but I mean, New York isn't the tax haven as some other states are. But I mean, that's like around what he should get. But I just don't understand. I guess these GMs love just cost certainty and locking players up, and I think it's actually going to change with the way players are. You know, having personality nowadays and our, you know, player movement. I think, you know, the John Tavares moving kind of opened the doors for everybody else.
Yeah.
Because like, you didn't see the vitriol for like Bobrovsky and Panarin. I mean, you had some, you know, little bullshit videos like, we want guys that want to be here.
A loyalty campaign.
Yeah. And then they got fucking blasted like 6-1. But I mean, it just, who gives a shit? Like, it's going to happen to a bunch of different teams.
Yeah. I
don't see it just happening to small market teams.
Yeah, I kind of wish Connor McDavid did it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a guy that has some balls.
Yeah.
I just don't think he has any. He's a very good player, but, I mean, he sounds like a guy that would, like, if a 5-year-old said shut up to him, he'd listen.
I think McDavid's... is hoping, like, if he wants to get out of Edmonton, he's hoping for a trade. He's not going to leave.
No, I think he'd get a justified reason to think he's
losing. I think if they are not good...
Well, he's going to get traded. I think
if they're not good, he will leave. But
he can't walk until 8 years from now, so what am I saying?
Well, it's like 4 now, or 5.
Oh, really? It's been that long? Oh, they locked him up, like, immediately, right?
Yeah, he's been under that deal. I think this is the third year.
I think it's the second year because
No, it's not the second year. It's got to be the third. 2, 3, 4, 5. I think he went. Didn't he go 2 years? Years before Matthews, or was it one?
Year before Matthews.
Oh, so this is the second year, I guess.
Yeah, so he has 6 more years.
Okay. Well, he'll be 27.
They have 2 more years. That's it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is.
Yeah, I mean, if this season goes down the toilet. Like, and they are in the lottery.
It's going to really start this year if they don't make playoffs, but next year, if they don't do it, it's over.
I mean, it's pretty... they were doing the math on overdrive with Ray, where they're in a position, they got 6 wins, I think.
Yeah.
And say you need 95 points, they can basically go like 500 down the stretch and make the playoffs.
Problem is, they got to go 500.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I mean, you wonder when regression will hit them with all these teams. You know, Carolina's not going to be fucking 6-0. Buffalo's not going to be 6-0. Leading the league in like goals against. Like, get the fuck out of here. This is not going to happen. And teams like San Jose, who everybody was bitching and complaining about because they did look like shit, they're not going to be dead last. Like, I saw people talking about the first round pick that they gave up to Ottawa. Isn't that done?
Who's that? San Jose?
No, yeah, San Jose. They own their own picks moving forward.
No. It's this year.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was last year's.
No, it's this year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because I think they had a how did it go again? If they made it to the finals, I think that then Ottawa would have gone the pick.
Oh, I guess they didn't give up the first round pick in 2019.
No, they did not. It was.
Oh, that's why. I thought they did.
So oh, here, well. I'm gonna look. I'm gonna bring this up because I got the details here.
We got so off the path of police hockey.
No, it's fine, because this is important stuff.
I'm fine. I'm just realizing now.
That's the Duchesne one. They also got Columbus's first rounder.
Who?
Ottawa.
This year's?
Because the way that they're putting this up,
I don't think so. I think there was a condition on if Duchesne stayed.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Never mind. So, okay. No, never mind. They got rid of that. Oh, here it is. So, these are the conditions. 2020 first rounder. So, Sens receive a first round pick from the Sharks no later than 2022. If Carlson is on an Eastern Conference roster. Remember that condition? So, no pick was transferred. Ottawa receives Sharks 2019 first-round pick if Sharks do not make the playoffs. If Sharks make the playoffs, which they did, Ottawa receives the Sharks 2020 first-rounder.
Okay, so it is. So it is unprotected, too.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably make the playoffs, the Sharks.
And the Sharks also sent them a 2021 second-rounder because Carlson resigned. Yeah, well, the selection upgrades to a 2021 first if Sharks reach the Cup final in 2019. So Ottawa received the 2021 second rounder, but because they didn't make the Cup final, they didn't get the first rounder. Fuck, these conditions were really bad.
They started 0-4, and now it looks like they're going to win 3 in a row, and they're right back in the wild card. They're 1 point back at Calgary. So
yeah. So... yeah, I mean,
you have to be like extreme cases. Like New Jersey they're fucked. They're like their own six.
Look, if I'm New Jersey, Alex Lafreniere and those guys are going to be good. So,
yeah, those are stepping into the lineup immediately. Like even a guy at 5 could step into your lineup immediately with these guys, this talent.
I mean,
that's what's going to suck about the Leafs not having a first.
That's the thing with Jack Hughes. I mean, doesn't he have no points?
Yeah, he had no. He almost lost his shit because he hit the post twice on one.
He missed an open net from inside the crease, the other night.
At the same time, it's not concerning because we know Jack Hughes is a good player. Yeah, I think just the losing doesn't help. But
it's another case of that guy. Like because he went first overall, he has to make the jump. Like he would have. Yeah. Torn up the NCAA for a year and been better off, but because he's the first overall pick, he has to make the jump nowadays.
Yeah, that's the one part about the Leafs not having a first round pick is because this team is like this year's draft is really good, but
realistically, they're gonna have another pick in the 20s, and it's darts at a dartboard at that point.
Well, I mean,
I mean, you saw with the thing about Nick Robertson, they had Craig Button on. He was talking about how basically he's become a top 50 prospect already.
Yep.
And he was taking the second round. He's leading the OHL in goals and points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's there's really like it. There's just not that big a difference between, you know, mid 50s and mid 20s. Like, that's the thing with, you know, Bob's list is just like, if I get, you know, 25 of the first 32 picks, I'm happy, because there's just so much variation between the 25 to 50, where some guys rank 25th, some guys rank 50th. I mean, it's a crapshoot, but I mean, they're lucky. They got I think if they have to trade guys, I would do it for picks. Like, the people I'm talking about is if they have to trade a guy like Kapanen down the road, do what the Caps did, and they got, I think it was 2 seconds and a third for Johansson. That's probably what I'd look to do. Maybe you can get lucky and get a first-round pick from a team, a mid-first-round pick, and then there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. I agree with that. So that's how we end it. Bringing it back to Leafs, thank you, Jake, for that one. They play their next game against Boston. They got Boston again, I believe. I think it's a home and home situation.
You're kidding me.
No, sorry. oh, sorry. It gets even better. So the Leafs, it's the Bruins at Toronto on Saturday. So the Leafs will have.
Then they have fucking two more back to backs.
So this is the great.
Yeah, they have another back to back next week, right?
They have Columbus on Monday. No, they have two back to backs
next week.
So this is how the Leafs week
I know
works.
For a fact they play San Jose the day before my birthday and Montreal on my birthday.
Yeah, so here we go. Columbus versus so they play the Bruins on Saturday. They have Columbus in Toronto on Monday. This is how stupid this is. They play in Toronto on Monday against Columbus, then they travel to Boston on the Tuesday. Then they play San Jose, as Jake said, on the Friday. So they'll have Wednesday and Thursday.
They have 5 games in 8 days.
And then they
so
have...
We're going to have 13 games played before the Rangers even step on the ice for practice.
And then eventually...
The Rangers basically could have said, you know what, fuck it. Go have vacation for a week.
Yeah, just... Your bye week is every week, boys. Congratulations.
One more here, just for shits and giggles. The Leafs on November 15th, they play the Bruins. That's a back-to-back. They play the Penguins in Pittsburgh the next night.
Oh, my Rip. God.
What's with... What? I just... NHL. Oh, sorry. And then they finished the month of November off with another back-to-back with the Sabres.
Oh, my God.
How? I'm just looking at their schedule now, and in the middle of March, they play five games in seven nights.
Oh, can I bring up another one? You know how they start the month of December?
Yeah.
A back-to-back with the Flyers and the Avs.
Do they lead the league in back-to-backs?
Oh, my God. I'm just looking. Like, I can't scroll down far enough. Oh, my God, another back-to-back with the Devils and the Rangers to end December.
Well, Devils should be 2 points.
Holy NHL.
You never know. Jack Hughes might be a point-per-game guy by then.
So, holy shit. The Leafs have 14 back-to-backs.
Do you want to see
Philly? Philly and Pittsburgh have 17.
Here's another back-to-back that looks really good. The Preds, then the Stars.
Well, Stars look like shite.
By then, they'll probably be good.
Edmonton, St. Louis have 9 back-to-backs.
I don't think I've ever seen so many back-to-backs for Toronto. They have the host.
The sad thing is there's like 10 teams with more.
Holy smokes. The NBA hates back-to-backs, and they try their best to get rid of them. And the NHL's like, oh, we think, you know, we need to get more back-to-backs in there because people love them so much.
Well, the NBA is, like, completely different. I think that's the thing that's really starting to annoy me is this load management thing. Like, that cannot happen.
No, not when you're paying guys so much.
No. It's not even like it's a Raptors thing or a Spurs thing. It's like teams can't do that. Like, you can't be the Spurs – who just could have fucking the three of us out there and somehow win a game, or the Raptors, who have a like 50-win core without Kawhi Leonard and can play without him. Like, you can't do that. Say there's a team like the Oilers. Like, they were talking about that, if they could give McDavid back, like, a day off. Like, what? They might not make the playoffs.
No offense, if I'm paying the money I'm paying to watch hockey in the NHL, I do not want to see a guy getting rested for load management.
I hate it in the NBA too.
How many Raptors fans would not go to Raptors games or not pay the price of a Raptors game because they knew Kawhi wasn't playing? That's why the Raptors had to announce when they expected to sit Kawhi, because they knew the NBA would be like, you can't just at the last minute tell fans, oh yeah, by the way, Kawhi's not playing tonight. So all that money you spent just went down the drain.
Now, to be fair, I went to one of the games that Kawhi sat in New York, and they still beat the fucking piss out of the Nets.
That's true.
But, I mean, it's rare. So you're talking about teams that have literally nothing to watch.
Yeah.
Like, the thing with the Raptors and the Spurs, like, some people like watching players. Some people just want to watch their team win.
That's true. Now, what I will say is, like, okay, if you're, let's say, a Leafs fan, and then Babcock said, oh yeah, Tavares and Matthews are being sat tonight just for load management, there would be quite a few Leafs fans that would have a big problem with that.
Yeah.
Because how much money, like, you're spending, like, look, Austin, you and I were going to potentially go to that Tampa game. Thank God we didn't, because that would have been a fucking waste of money. we were looking, $75 starting U.S. for tickets. $75. And you're not even, and half the time, on Saturday nights, you're starting at about $100, and that's a standing room ticket. It is getting, Ken Campbell, you know, sometimes I don't agree with stuff he tweets out. He tweeted out how all the Canadian teams except for Toronto did not sell out. And all the comments were like, yeah, we just don't want to spend the money that the teams are charging. Or it's not even what the teams are charging. It's what the secondary market is charging.
That's the big thing. You can't – if you're going to change something, you got to change – you know, the amount of buyers that you can have from one thing. Like, you can't buy a block of 20 tickets if you're from, like, a different IP address. I mean, the Yankees have really tried to do that, mainly because they're greedy fucks and they don't like people buying their product and reselling it for profit when money they could be making is not going in their pocket.
This is where I hate the leagues partnering with StubHub, because StubHub's like, yeah, we're making money, but we'll give you a cut. Like, that's a load of crap. Like, that's just StubHub buying a way to make sure MLB's okay with them upcharging fans. This is the thing. It's fans who lose out. Oh, yeah, you get tickets. You get more options. Yeah, but how much do you want me to spend? I got upcharged. I was selling... my sister was selling Austin this yesterday. We got upcharged, like, 3 times the amount for a Leafs preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
We did it because we wanted to go to the game.
I mean, the thing they do and what they should do, and they probably never will do, is like in Europe, they have huge supporters. It's way too corporate now.
Yeah.
But like I know in Europe, they have things where, like, they were in England, I think Premier League tickets, which are, you know, relatively expensive. They're probably like, I don't know, maybe $60 US. Which is fucking nothing.
No.
But, like, they were complaining because they were going up, like, $5. And in Germany, I think they have to be, like, $10 or something for kids' tickets. It's ridiculous. I mean, it will never happen. I mean, nor should. I mean, it's just a completely capitalistic point of view where if someone's going to pay it, why not? But it's kind of just sad.
It's just sad because eventually...
You're also just pricing out potential fans.
You are. You're pricing out the fans that really want to go for the fans that, no offense, are complaining the most because of how much they've spent and they didn't get what they want out of it. You're never going to be happy at a sporting event when you pay the amount you're paying. Now, let's be honest. Like, do you think people would have been happy about the NBA Finals if the Raptors lost because of how much money they're spending. I know people who complained, you know, in the Leafs preseason. Austin, you went to a Leafs preseason game and you basically saw the Marlies.
Yeah, that see, that's a thing where that was a deserved. That was so stupid, and they actually corrected it this year. But that was such a stupid thing. Yeah.
You know, they that's why they announced those lineups earlier. But yeah, the problem is the NHL sees money, the Leafs see money, everyone sees money. But and then the fans are just gonna be at some point. I mean, it will never be like that for the Leafs because I see people in the 100s, like on Instagram. I see people I know in the 100s, and I just go. I feel like Texan said, "Did you rob a bank?" That's like $600 for two tickets. They got probably. You those tickets. Come on, no. These like a lot of these are just people will buy that one game. They're like, screw eating for the week. That's what it is, and it's I mean, if you're willing to pay it, good on you. I'm not paying that.
No, that's why I like the thing that the Raptors and Leafs sort of started with the you know the big screen outside where you're getting those fans who guys like us. Basically,
they're
younger professionals or people right out of university or in university that can't spend, you know, $200 to go to a playoff game and sit in the nosebleeds, but they'll pay $5 and $5 for beers to sit outside and watch it with, you know, a bunch of fans. Like, that's like a fun idea that a ton of teams have started to copy. It's probably the only positive thing that's come out of it.
Well, MLSC just redid Real Sports.
Yeah, I mean, they should. And they reinvested in that square that's gotten a fucking ton of use. Yeah. Didn't they, like, double the screen size?
Yeah, it's massive.
Austin saw it, I didn't see it. So,
I haven't seen it in person yet. Richard Lee Sam, our buddy, who has been on this podcast a couple of times, he was the one that sent out the photo that I saw.
Yeah, well, there you go. So,
yeah.
So, I'm for that. Either the NHL is going to have to realize that their product is becoming too expensive and fans do not want to go, or fans in a lot of markets will not go. I mean, look, teams will finally have to, like, how many teams have had to lower ticket price because they've realized they've outpriced fans?
It's happening. I mean, I think the most... the biggest thing that's happened was with Carolina and Carolina and Florida did was because a couple years ago before they got new ownership their attendance was bullshit. Like they would have maybe 12,000 fans, but like 7,000 of them were paying. So it was just a complete waste of. It was just diluting their product. Like, the value of their product was nothing. So they made everybody pay in, and that's why you've seen a couple ugly crowds, like Ottawa versus Florida or Winnipeg versus Carolina.
Ottawa had 9,000 at a game.
9,000? I've seen, like, four, where it looks like it's 500.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's what you have to do. You got to rebuild the brand and... I mean, hopefully, maybe ticket prices maybe stay flat or slightly go down if they, you know, hit a ball out of the ballpark with the new US TV deal that should, you know, hopefully finally allow teams to profit. I mean, that's been the biggest issue with NHL teams. There's only been maybe, you know, half the league has been able to actually turn a profit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's like five teams that are hemorrhaging money.
And I also think it's like for the Leafs, it's never going to change until fans actually just say enough's enough.
Which won't happen. So
it won't happen. So Leafs fans, if you complain about how high ticket prices are, tell other fans not to spend the money that scalpers are asking for it. That's all I got.
Otherwise, get used to watching Marty Marincin throw grenades for the next little bit.
Yeah.
It's live. It's like the same veiled bullshit threats that you hear from people like, oh, If I see this NFL officiating one more time, I'm never watching again.
Hopefully.
Or the people who are like, if they keep taking knees, I'm burning my tickets. It's like, you'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm never buying Nike products again because Colin Kaepernick took a knee.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
For exactly 1 week.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, gentlemen, I think this is a good way to end the podcast. You can follow everything we're doing on Tip of the Tower on Twitter. We will hopefully try to find some time with the Leafs not playing back-to-backs to get the next episode out. Most likely will come out midweek next week, like this week, because weekends have become busy for me again with work. So there's that again. Work is what can try to afford Leafs tickets one time. Just one time.
Yeah, just one time this season. We're going to make it out to a Leafs game.
We're going to do it once and then complain about how much we paid about it.
Yep. If they lose, if they win, it's all water under the bridge.
I'd probably still complain how much we paid even if they win.
We can't have nice things.
We can never have nice things. With that being said, hopefully you guys find some nice things to say about this Leafs team, which I know is really hard right now. But soon, hopefully soon, you'll find something.
It gets better.
It usually does. It usually does. Yeah. So try to stick in. We're only 8 games into the season. It's 7 or 8 games. One of those two. Wow. Butchering this. But we're not that far into the season, guys. You can make it through. We have faith. Well, most of us do.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.